Jim White. From bbc.co.uk/bh, you can subscribe to our newsletter. We asked, was there too much reporting of the BBC by the BBC on the BBC? And should BH, which you fund, include an item on the whole brouhaha? Well, when you think about it, that question itself looks completely self-obsessed, but many told us in reply, yes, make space on Sunday morning. We did also hear from Chris Everett, who said, the cuts will not fall where the customers would like, and there will be too much navel-gazing by the BBC. So it's all clearly time to hear from an American. And here is James Geary, former Europe editor of Time and author of We Are What We Think.
I was in the US this past week, visiting my family in the suburbs of Philadelphia. I spent a lot of time in the car, as one does in the suburbs, listening to WHYY, the local affiliate of National Public Radio, the closest thing America has to the BBC. I happened to tune in during WHYY's membership drive, an 8-day fundraising marathon during which programs are punctuated by lengthy appeals for money. One of the station's star presenters repeatedly and eloquently stressed that listener support was crucial to National Public Radio. WHYY's basic membership, I learned, starts at just $50. For $10 more, you get a complimentary coffee mug and a free year subscription to Newsweek magazine. Arriving back in London to the news that the BBC was cutting jobs and programs to bridge a £2 billion funding gap, it occurred to me that this membership drive might be a model for financing the Beeb. I am a big fan of the BBC, or at least big parts of it, and I am quite happy to pay for the privilege of accessing its programs. But I also believe that no taxation without representation still makes sense, and the quaint, antiquated license fee is no way to fund the 21st century BBC. If Director General Mark Thompson is serious about focusing on content that really makes a difference to audiences, then why not abolish the license fee altogether and let the British public voluntarily fund the BBC through what I call Beeb Relief, a mix of WHYY's membership drive with Big Brother-like viewer participation. Beeb Relief could be an annual event, or biannual, or even quarterly, depending on how big the budget deficit is, and of course, Jonathan Ross would host it. Crucial efficiency savings could be achieved by making this task part of his current £18 million three-year deal. To ensure high ratings, Jeremy Paxman could do a turn on a special edition of Strictly Come Dancing. Star presenters could travel to the furthest-flung outposts of the BBC empire to profile staff in need. Imagine Radio 1's Fern Cotton crouched deep in the bowels of Television Centre, chatting amiably with a pale, exhausted denizen of the News and Factual Programming Department. I can see Fern now, turning earnestly to the camera to say, as little as £5 a month could provide this unappreciated, underpaid researcher with pen and paper and a broadband internet connection. That new buzzword, trimedialism, will be realized by endlessly repeating the appeal on TV, radio, and the web. Then, just like on Big Brother, viewers could vote on which shows they want to save. Not via phone-ins, we all know how susceptible to fraud those kinds of competitions are, but via their wallets, by making direct donations to their favorite programs. If people really value Newsnight, for example, then Paxman's appearance should rake in the cash. If, on the other hand, people prefer Top Gear, they can make their checks out to Jeremy Clarkson. This will ensure that only the most popular programs survive, thus fulfilling the BBC's public service mission. A basic membership could start at, say, £50. For £10 more, you could get a commemorative John Humphrey's coffee mug. And, to deflect criticism of the BBC as anti-competitive and elitist, a free one-year subscription to Sky Digital.
James Geary. Kevin